Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show difference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They said, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, you know, I like to start with a little bit of our context. So we're still in the midst of the scene of Jesus at the temple. Right, he's come into Jerusalem, welcomed as this king, sort of in a weird way, on the back of a donkey, and went straight. The first thing he did was he went straight to the temple, right? And he turned everything over, he made a big old ruckus, and the folks that were in charge there said, "We don't like this guy. Why are you doing all this?" And he goes in with like three stories about how awful they are. If you can imagine your place of work having some Joe Blow off the street with a big old crowd of people coming in telling you how bad you're doing, you're not going to be very happy with this person. So Jesus goes in and tells three different stories about how awful they are, and now it's their turn to punch back. So we've got the Pharisees today and the Herodians, tired of Jesus, bad-mouthing them, telling everybody just how awful they are. And so they come up with this plan, kind of picture them behind closed doors, or seeing and listening to them, and they're just, "We gotta get this guy. How can we get him? How can we get him?" And these are two groups of people that aren't going to be very happy with each other most of the time. So the Pharisees are sort of these church leaders that their focus is on the independence of the people of God. They don't want to have anything to do with the Romans, who are this occupying force in on top of them. They're tired of it. They don't want to be there. They're doing all that they can, not straight, you know, open revolt, but all the things that they can to separate themselves from the Romans. And then there's this group, the Herodians, and their name comes from the emperor, King Herod, right? So these are folks in the community who support King Herod. And so these two groups of people, you can imagine the people supporting the king and the people that don't want to have anything to do with the king, would not be best friends. They're not going to have lunch together. They're not going to be seen together. But here they have this common enemy, Jesus, causing all these problems. They're able to set those things aside and to come together. I think in my, we won't talk about Sunday school today, but I'll talk about my Friday email. You can imagine, no matter who you are, if we start talking about how awful Duke is, we can set a lot aside to agree that Duke is just puke, I think is what we said in North Carolina. Duke is puke. So they're able to set these things aside to come after Jesus. And they have what they assume is a pretty straightforward plan. Do you pay taxes to the emperor or not? And the trap itself is pretty transparent. If Jesus says, yeah, it's lawful to pay taxes, and the law is, of course, the Jewish law. Should the people of faith pay taxes to the emperor? If he says yes, then he's ostracized all the people that don't want to pay taxes to the emperor. And now, why would they not want to do that? The emperor considers and is very vocally proclaiming that he is God on earth. Right? The coin says so. God on earth. And so to pay the emperor this tax is in itself praising, supporting this God, the emperor as a god. That's what they felt anyways. And so if you pay your taxes to the emperor, you're paying to this idol, this god. So if he says yes, that's lawful to do, there's a whole group of faithful people that are like, mm-mm, we can't do that. We had like 10 rules, dude. One of them is don't worship other gods. And you're telling us to pay taxes and worship this other god? No, sir. But if he says no, it's unlawful to pay taxes to the emperor, don't do it. You can imagine how the emperor would feel about this guy telling a whole group of followers not to pay taxes. Trap's pretty transparent. It's a yes or no question. Lawful to pay taxes or not. Yes gets him in trouble with one side. No gets him in trouble with the other. Either way, Jesus is done for. Except that he's not, because he's Jesus. And he has this answer that sort of lets him... It's not that political non-answer that's not an answer. Answer that's not an answer. He answers the question. He doesn't change it to some other policy that he's trying to put out there. He tiptoes around it. Give me a coin. Give me a coin. And so right then, he's calling out their hypocrisy, because here are these people that are supposed to be people of faith, and they got this guy's a coin in their own pocket. This guy's picture on it. This is just says Madeline. That's who I love over and over again. And I think that's us in our house with a heart. It's super cute. So they pull it out. Jesus says, whose face is on the coin? Well, it's the emperor's. Okay, if it's got his face on it, it's his. Just give it back to him. Give to the emperor what's the emperor. But then he doesn't stop there. That would be answering the question, do I pay taxes? Well, if it's got his face on the coin, just give it to him. Could have been done with it. It says, give to God what is God's. And so this is the question I keep coming back to. Give to the emperor what is the emperor's, and give to God what is God's. And if you think back, the very front of this book here, we've got a creation story. And we've written out what we believe God was doing when God created the world. Remember, God did this whole beautiful thing in 6 days and rested on the seventh. The sixth day, when God creates humans, we're created in God's image. God's face is on us. The emperor's got his face on the coin. He's made this metal coin with his face on it. Give that to God. But we have God's face on us, each and every one of us, all of creation around us. We were able to go to the horse park this week. Face of God in the horses. We were able to go up to High Bridge again. Saw the face of God in the river and in the trees. God's face is on so many things. So yeah, the emperor is able to, through some power, some authority, to put his face on these coins. But God has put God's face on each and every one of us, in all of creation around us. So for me, to hear Jesus say, give to the emperor what is the emperor, and give to God what is God's, it's not really a balanced transaction. These taxes that we think are so important, all this money stuff that we give back over to the emperor, that's one thing. But so much else we ought to be giving to God. And the question's still not black and white for me. Because God's face is on so much of everything, how do we decide what is to be given to God? Now here's your Sunday school update. There are things that we have to buy. Our money is this big part of our life, right? We have to just buy things. But how do we decide what we give to God? How do we decide where our money is spent? How do we decide what are the best ways to give to God all those resources that God has given to us? And we're not just talking money either. Our time, our talents. It's easy to get distracted with the things that we do, giving those to the world, to the emperor. But how do we make sure that we're giving our times and our talents over to God? Next week, we're going to read the greatest commandment. Jesus straightforward says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, everything that you have, and love your neighbor as yourself. For me, that's the threshold. That's the litmus test. And if what I'm doing shows that I'm loving God, is what I'm doing loving my neighbor as myself, then it's probably all right to give that over to God. If there's some other thing that's not loving God, maybe that's the emperor's and I can give it back. For me, it comes down to doing the best we can. Recognizing that there are ways that which we can do better with our money, with our time. Recognizing that there are ways that we can do better sharing and giving back over to God. But if we're trying, if we're doing what we can, I think that's a pretty good start. Amen.